White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. When the Jap guard woke us up in the small hours of the morning and told us we had half an hour to be down at the Padang, we thought we were going to be moved to Singapore. We raced about the place, trying to pack our few belongings. It was difficult, as we had nothing to pack into, and we had to leave our precious stove. Two guards sat and watched us, nagged at us to hurry, and one had the nerve to whistle home sweet home to us.
It's a darn nerve whistling that. What on earth are we going to do about those eating bowls? We can't leave them.
Oh, Shorty has a sugar bag. She might put them all in that on top of the stuff. We could all take turns of carrying it.
Well, where is she? Shorty! Hey, Shorty!
Yes?
Where are you?
Taking a last farewell of the stove, old thing?
I'll go and ask her.
Now, if I tie the sleeves of this old shirt together, Pat, you could put your things in it.
Oh, you're a brick, Woody.
Shorty, you know that sugar bag you've got? Well, can we put our bowls in on top of your things?
No, Jeff, it's full.
Oh, good heavens, what of? You haven't got that many clothes, have you?
No, but Toby's in it. I'm going to smuggle him out with it.
I'd forgotten all about dog Toby in a rush. He'll be pretty heavy to carry, won't he?
Oh, I'll manage. I'm not going to leave him to the mercy of these swine.
Well, will he stay still?
Look, you'd think he knew. He's been in there about 10 minutes now and he hasn't moved. I thought that I'll stay here till we start to move, then I'll get in the middle of you all, and in the general milling about, I hope he won't be spotted.
Well, we'll huddle around you as much as possible.
Oh,
good luck.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, Jeff, what about the sugar bag?
I'll tell them, Shorty. You stay here till we go. We'll have to each carry our own, Woody. There's no room left. At last we were ready, and once more a dismal-looking line of us walked down to the Padang, which was rather a pretty park. After all our hurrying to be there in time, we had to stand and wait in the blazing sun, hatless, until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was a great crowd of civilian Dutch people there, too. They had piles of luggage stacked all around them. I wonder what all the Dutch are doing here.
Oh, goodness knows, Biff.
Perhaps they are in turn now, too.
Well, I wonder if we are going to Singapore, or if it's just another rumour.
Shorty, how's Toby doing in the bag?
Oh, he's as good as gold.
Oh, the poor little chap. He must be nearly suffocated in there. I wish you could let him out.
Oh, it's too risky.
I wonder how long they'll keep us here.
Oh, it's dreadful in this sun.
Oh, I bet they picked this spot because there's no trees or shade of any kind.
Old men will line over here. Old women over there.
Oh, action at last.
Hurry!
That's good.
Leave luggage. Get over there.
They're separating all the men from their families. They couldn't be going to...
Going to what, Viv?
Going to do what they did the last time I saw them take the men away.
Oh, they couldn't be going to do that, could they?
Women to stay here. Pocho, Mamadina, go away.
Honestly, you'd think they'd have warned them so they could take their belongings with them.
Some of them are trying to grab cases and things now.
Oh,
look!
What a mess.
Open all cases and bundles to be searched.
Oh, that's torn it. They'll find Toby. Oh, but if a couple of us sit down and lean over him, they may not see him.
Australi have nothing but rags. No need to look.
Come on, let's
all women will come with me. March.
Thank heavens, we're off at last.
We were marched off, not to a ship in Singapore, but to a small street containing 10 three-roomed cottages. Most of these houses were stripped of furniture. There were 24 people in ours, 17 sisters and 7 other women. Next door were 15 sisters and 8 other people, including 3 children. This was good, apparently, for a slightly larger house had 36 people in it. We were told to go into these houses and sort ourselves out.
You, Australi, take these 2 houses. Get inside. Nanti.
Wait, what for?
Oh, I don't know. It's so good to get in out of the sun, I don't care.
Looks like we start from scratch. Taps, but no water. Electric lights, but no power.
Small kitchen, but no stove and no cooking pot.
And still no beds.
Come on, Blanche. You and I'll go and scout round and see if we can find some wood to light a fire. We'll pull our rice and we'll try to get a meal together, eh?
Hey, look, pets. There are other dogs here. If I let Toby out, he won't be noticed.
We hope.
Well, what are we going to cook the rice in?
Well, we have to find something.
Well, I found something we can cook it in and we can clean it up.
Oh, good.
Here. Oh, what do you know? An old oil tin.
It's half full of oil and spider webs.
Well, we can clean it out. It'll do until we get organized.
No, kids. There's not a skeleton of wood in the whole darn place. Everybody's searching for some.
Well, we have to eat something, and we can't eat uncooked rice. So there's only one thing to do.
What, Jack?
We'll have to take a door down and smash it to bits.
Right. Now, which one will we get?
It better be this one into the kitchen.
Oh, well, we better get started.
Come on, let's go.
Come on.
After a lot of effort and a few bruises, we got the door down and smashed it up by the simple method of jumping on it. We borrowed a match from a guard to light the fire and set to work to cook a meal. We had to carry water from the last house in the camp, which was quite a way and was at the foot of a hill. It was good, that rice, our first meal of the day, even though it had a strange flavor.
I suppose you could acquire a taste for this.
Oiled rice.
Not to mention weak boiled tea. It's probably very nourishing.
It's disgusting to drink.
We'll have to sleep on the floor again. You know, I'm getting quite used to it.
Not concrete this time, but nice cold tile. Yes. Certainly very cooling after a hot day.
Hey, we're silly. We should empty the oil tin and put it outside to catch the rain.
I'm too tired to do anything. I'm going to have a sleep.
Me too.
Not a bad idea, Jeff. I'll just give Toby his ration, then I'll hit the hay, too.
If only there was some hay to hit.
It's amazing how comfortable the floor can become. For pillows, we used life belts. Some of the girls found some books and used those. Others made tiny cushions out of scraps. We found a little cot, and as Sister James is only 5 feet high, it was hers. After a day or two, the water and electricity were turned on, and we settled in. Our greatest problem in the first few weeks was the wood question. It became acute all around the camp.
Well, we can't move any more doors, or we'll be open to the wide, wide world.
And our only piece of furniture, the wardrobe, is now a line of hooks on a rickety board.
Our poor Sister James, all that's left of her cot is the little side piece.
Well, at least keeps it off the tiles.
Well, there's nothing left to burn. What do we do now?
Dr. McDowell keeps reporting to the guardhouse every day asking for wood, but so far nothing's happened.
By the smell of it, the ration truck's coming up the hill.
Oh, I wonder what we'll have today. Bad Chinese cabbages, or that charming mixture of decayed vegetables that are an anonymous mass.
I don't know, but we better get down or else we won't get our share.
Oh, I wish they wouldn't just dump it on the road. Wash half of it away, trying to get the dirt off it.
What is it? What's happened?
They've brought a piece of wild pig, and when they saw it on the road, all the dogs are eating it.
Well, let's get them away quick before they eat it all. Drop it! Here, let go!
Your rave dogs are on!
But they're eating the first piece of meat we've seen for weeks.
Rave on, Australi!
I won't!
Oh, well, gather the one I'm ready.
There won't be any left to get. Oh, Jeff, look at it. It's a moving mass.
It's still meat.
Can we take the other rations now?
Not yet. Sokanoki, stand out of the way. I will cut up the meat.
About time.
Kura Anji! Cut out, too! Kura Anji!
Well, that's nice and hygienic. First, throw the meat in the dust, and then get a bunch of dogs and let them have a go. And then put your dirty boot on it to steady it as you put it, as you cut it out.
Heck at it's more like it. Then throw each piece in the dust and let it lie there till it really is a moving mass. Result? Meat for dinner.
Yo! Astrari! This piece. Get other ration.
Is this all we get?
All get the same.
But this piece isn't as big as the palm of my hand, and there's 24 of us.
That's all you get. Ah, get out. Tero.
I got the other rations, Jeff. Long beans today, but they're rotten.
Look.
What on earth's that?
Our meat ration.
For all of us?
That's right.
Well, imagine the excitement if we find a bit of that in our stew. Oh, well, I suppose it's better than none.
It mightn't have been quite so bad if we'd had some salt to put with it. One day, there was a great commotion as into the wood-hungry camp came one miserable-looking Japanese soldier wheeling a miserable little lot of wood in a baby's pusher. He was surrounded by mobs of women and children until he didn't know where to put himself or his wood. They all talked at him so loudly, and there was such confusion that he dropped it and went back for another little load. He was ridiculous. A little later, a truck was driven into the camp, laden with wood in 15-foot lengths and burnt black, but it was wood. It kept coming in twice a day, and within a week we had so much wood, we didn't know where to put it. It all had to be chopped, so two axes were provided for over 400 women. They ran hot.
Well, I'm next in line for the ladies' wood chop event.
Oh, hello, Shorty. It's your turn today, is it?
Yes, Woody. I don't know how we'll get on. I usually chop everything in sight except what I'm aiming at.
Me too. Oh, but it's the blisters that are the worst.
Oh, well, oh, I can but do my best. Now it's my turn. Stand back, old thing. Anything's likely to happen.
Chopping continued until both the axes were very blunt and just about everybody in the camp had calluses and blisters on their hands. Early in April, we were suddenly aroused from our boredom by the arrival of two trucks full of women, children and luggage. They'd come from our old jail in Muntok. We were hoping more of our nurses would be with them, but no luck. They consisted mostly of British nurses and more civilians who had turned up after we left. And then one fine April morning, we were awakened by a Nipponese guard who told us to line up on the roadside at once for inspection by some high officials. This was before breakfast. We lined up in two rows.
Oh, why is it they always drag us out at the crack of dawn?
Perversity. We'll probably stand here for hours now before anything happens.
Well, you're wrong this time, Woody. Here come the guards now.
You are sorry. Well, listen to me while I tell you. You will be inspected by a very high official. Very important. You are to bow row like this. Oh, as high officials pass. And you are not to rob. Understand?
We understand.
Oh, I swear they don't know what to expect of us. Fancy telling us not to laugh at them.
Oh. drive you silly, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm so bored.
Look what I've got. Well, I found it on the rubbish heap.
Well, what is it, Pat?
Look.
Oh, a photograph album. Full, too.
Anyone we know, Pat?
Oh, don't be silly, Viv. It's Dutch, I think. I thought we could make the photos out and make them into cards.
Oh, what?
Oh, Pat's useless. Well, that's an idea. Are there 52 sets?
Oh, more than that. We might even get two decks.
But we haven't got any way of putting the clubs and spades and things on them.
Well, look, some of the Dutch may have inks. We could ask.
Our Dutch friends lent us a bottle of red ink and a bottle of blue and some pens, and we all got busy. The result was really excellent. Some of the court cards were works of art, and the ink was hardly dry before we started playing. We were lucky that we weren't caught making the cards, as we were not allowed to have papers or do any writing. Our belongings were searched periodically without warning, and any personal papers were smartly removed and burnt by the guards. They would just walk in without any warning and rifle our things.
Yes, well, I was walking around there. Kids. Well,
two guards headed this way. It's probably another search.
Well, I haven't got anything left to find.
Oh, I've got to go and see if Toby's out of
time. Oh, Jeff, what about your diaries?
Oh, great guns, I'd forgotten. What'll I do with it?
Well, hurry up, because they're nearly here.
Where will I put it? Oh, look, this'll have to do. Under the kitchen bench. Hope for the best.
There's enough cobwebs under there to hide anything. They seem to grow while you look at them. Viv, are they coming in?
Yes.
Here they are, quick.
Get outside, the Strari. Outside! We search.
They didn't find the diary, but when I retrieved it, I found an empty beer bottle. Nobody knew where that came from, but it did very well as a hiding place for part of the diary. I just rolled it up and slipped it inside the bottle. The rest of it lives in a small pillow at the moment. We had a red letter day when, after months of not sighting soap, one day it arrived with the rations. A small piece each, which was treated like gold.
I can't believe it. Real soap after all this time.
Oh, isn't it wonderful? I can't wait to use it. Did you get your piece, Matt?
Oh, yes.
I don't know which to do first. Wash me or my few rags.
Well, I don't think it'll stand up to both. It's only a very small piece of soap.
Well, that sounds like a very dirty crack. Do you mean I'm so dirty that I'd use the whole piece in one wash?
Oh, not only you, Jeff. We're all pretty grubby, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Hey, Viv. Viv, come over here. I want to speak to you a minute.
Oh, what's the matter?
Let's gang up on Mac and see if we can get her to say anything but, oh, yes.
How do you mean?
Well, it doesn't matter what happens. That's all she says. Let's tell her some really fantastic things and see what happens. We'll get some of the others in on it, too, and try it out tonight, eh?
All right, we'll try, but I'll bet you we don't get her to say anything else.
Mac, I must tell you what happened to Shorty today.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it was terrible. She was walking along with Toby when two of the big dogs attacked him. There was a frightful fight, and Shorty nearly got killed trying to get Toby out of it.
Oh, yes. Yes, there I was with the dogs murdering themselves all around my legs. Toby was hanging on to one dog by the ear, and they were growling and snapping. They nearly bit my hands off.
Oh, yes.
And then Shorty went to get some water to throw on them, and when she came back, two of the Nips were watching the fight, and they wouldn't let her stop it. Well, poor little Toby was just about exhausted.
Oh, yes.
And then the Jap started kicking the dogs, and Shorty grabbed Toby and started to run.
Yes. And then they sued the other dogs onto me.
Oh, yes.
And I got away. Oh, but it gave me a terrible fright.
Oh, yes.
Talking about a terrible fright, I was walking across to your house a couple of nights ago, Mac. It was very dark, remember? About three nights ago, there was a big wind blowing.
Oh, yes.
Well, suddenly I heard a funny, eerie sort of noise behind me. I looked round and I saw something that turned my bones to water.
Yes?
There was a great white apparition coming towards me.
Oh, yes?
I don't know what it was, but if you ever see it, Mac, go for your life.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Do you like kittens, Mac?
Oh, yes.
Well, Biff was telling me about her kitten at home. Oh, it was a dear little thing until it ate some catnip. And then it turned into a wildcat.
Oh, yes.
Yes. and its eyes turned red, and it frosted at the mouth, and it beat up all the other cats in the district. Oh, it was a terrible cat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's no good. She'll never say anything else but, oh, yes. Will you, Mac?
Oh, yes.
Then for Pete's sake, say it.
Good, eh?
In May, our rations improved. As well as the decayed vegetables that, when cooked, gave us about a dessert spoonful of soupy stew per person, we were given water lily roots, pink, mauve, and white. Also bamboo shoots. Or maybe we didn't know the right way to cook them, but none of us thought much of them.
They may be a great delicacy for some people, but I think they're just hard and tasteless.
I can't bear the little hairs. Yeah, they're all covered with them.
I think it's a waste of time leaving them on there to boil, Pat. They're just as hard after cooking for an hour or so as they are before you start.
You can smell our food cooking from all corners of the camp. What's going on?
Well, Blanche and Clancy went out for rations today, and they grabbed all the leeks. Oh, they're bad, but they're a change.
They smell most savory. Oh, what's in that pot?
Bamboo shoots.
Oh, how awful.
Hey, kids, Val Smith and Ray have written a wonderful song. It's to the tune of Quartermaster's Store, and it's all about the rations.
Well, when can we hear it?
Well, I vote we ought to have a Saturday night concert.
Yes, that's a good idea. Listen, we can have it in our house, because I think our room's a bit bigger than yours.
Yes. Oh, yes, well, that's grand, then. Now, let's all get together and see who can do anything and get it organized.
Well, we'll have to hold it next door, Jeff. They've got the piano in there.
Oh, of course, I forgot. Oh, yes, that poor old battered upright.
Oh, I wish we had it. Two of the kids sleep in it. They say it's not bad.
Anything would be better than the tiles.
Now, about the concert, kids, I think that if we had about 6 items, it ought to be enough.
We planned our first concert very carefully. It was to be a really first-class show. Everyone worked hard, and you'd come across one or two sisters rehearsing away like mad to themselves. The great night came, and it was a huge success, but the star turn of the evening was Val and Ray's song. We probably liked it best because we could all join in the chorus.
And now, ladies, we come to a song that will go right to your hearts and probably right to your tummies. It is written by the famous team of songwriters Sister Val Smith and Sister Ray Raymond. May will be so good as to tickle the ivories.
Oh, yes.
The song will be rendered, and I repeat, rendered, by your good friend Shorty. And you're all asked to join in the chorus. So, a one, and a two, and a three.
We are POWs pouring out our wounds on a dreadful diet. This is how it goes on a dreadful diet. This is how it goes.
Rice, mouldy, rotten rice.
Nothing more, nothing more.
There are eggs, growing little eggs. And throw them at their shaven heads.
They are so blind they cannot see. This is not enough for you and me. And we are all so darn hungry.
Oh, there is pork. Pork, a skinny bit of pork. Nothing more.
Nothing more!
There is yak, we cannot hack. Let's throw this tough stuff back. There are leeks, oh gee, how it leaks. Nothing more! There is cabbage, rescued from the garbage. Only good for yellow baggage.
They are so blind, they do not know how tired of this we all do grow. And
the girls.
There's rice, moldy, rotten rice. Nothing more. There are eggs, growing little eggs.
It was wonderful what that concert did for us. We all felt warmer and less hungry and really quite gay. We decided to have one every Saturday night. We only hoped the Japs wouldn't stop us.
Listen again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banbard for Australasian Radio Productions.